Okay, folks, we'll make a start this evening. Could I welcome everyone to the meeting of Mid Ulster District Council here in Dungannon, and especially those that are joining us remotely and also here in person. Specifically welcome the public watching us through the live broadcast. The live broadcast will run for the period of our open business, but will end just before we move into confidential business. And I will let everyone know just before this happens. Some housekeeping before we commence. Can I remind everyone, if you've joined the meeting remotely, please keep your audio on mute, as I said earlier, unless invited to speak, and then turn it off when off after speaking. Keep your video on at all times unless you have bandwidth or internet problems, where you're advised to turn off your video. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand in the meeting or on the screen and keep it raised until observed, either by myself or an officer. Should we need to take a vote this evening, please raise your hand in the normal way and keep it raised until observed or advised to lower. Thank you. When invited to speak, please introduce yourself clearly by stating your name to the meeting. For any member attending remotely, if you declare an interest in an item, please turn off your video and keep your audio on mute for the duration of the business or the item. If referring to a specific item on the report, please report the page or note the page or slide being referred to, and that will help everyone to find the place. Lastly, can I remind the public and press that by taking photographs of the proceedings or using any means to enable anyone not present to see or hear proceedings or make simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. Thank you, everyone, and we will now move to our first item on the agenda. The first item is our apologies. Could we have apologies, please, from anyone?
Chair, Councillor Martin Kearney and Councillor Sharon McAleer.
Councillor Martin Kearney and Sharon McAleer. Any other apologies from anyone? Okay, thank you. Okay, declarations of interest. You can either do that now or at the time of the item is going to be...
Just to declare an interest in the Development Committee minutes.
Okay. Okay. All right, then we're on to item three, which is Chair's Business. And I'm going to make some clarity here concerning Chair's Business, folks. You always hear tell if a new broom sweeps differently. Well, there you are. And... I'm going to try and streamline the Chair's business situation. Now, I know that quite a number of people have asked to speak tonight, and therefore I'm not dismissing that any way or shape or form, but let's just clarify. So what we want to do is try and stream and help the officer team as well as myself, and that is, therefore, Chair's business needs to be notified through the Chair's email account by 5 p.m. on the day before the council meeting. So in essence, if anything wants to be there, it needs to be in the Chair's account before 5 o'clock yesterday. And that will help you to focus, and it will also help me to be able to conduct the business. Now, they also would like to you take into consideration the spirit the Chair's business is for, or what the purpose of it is for. And it is not for to deal with issues that should be dealt with in committees. So therefore, it's for something that has maybe happened at the last minute in our community that affects our community. It was as an emergency issue or something to that effect. And therefore, we want to try and streamline that. So I'm asking you to be considerate of that. And I suppose I come up with a wee slogan. So remember, don't ask to raise an issue if a refusal may offend. You've seen that wee slogan in some of the times in the shop, don't ask for a discount, for you might be offended. So therefore, don't ask for Chair's business if it's not Chair's business, therefore, in case that you'd be offended if I refuse. So I'm asking you to be careful and cautious about that and take that in the manner in which I'm delivering it. Therefore, we'll move on to Chair's business, and the first person is Councillor Aston.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to take the opportunity to congratulate all those in the district that were recipients in the birthday honours. And I would just like to ask, Mr. Chairman, that you would write to those individuals. They contribute a lot to our society, and I think it would be right and proper that you would acknowledge that in the area.
Okay, thank you. The next person is Councillor Donald McPeak.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'd just like to take this opportunity to welcome the official opening of the A6 from Toome to Castle Dawson. The Castle Dawson roundabout. The area I represent runs through the first probably 3 miles of that, and it's noticeable the drop off in traffic. And also, I'd like to thank the contractors, Graham and Farns, for working with myself and all our local elected representatives, tiring out in the last year difficulties around the finishing off the road and one thing or another. And because of COVID and that, we never got to officially thank them in person. So thank you.
Okay, and I'm happy to be associated with those comments, and I think anybody that uses that stretch of the road will see the great benefit that it has brought, even by the fact that even down to the extra lane of traffic, and it just means so much different. It's a fantastic job, and yes, well done to everybody concerned. Okay, the next person I have is Councillor Culperson.
Thanks, Chair, and I'm going to abuse your system on your first night. I have one issue, but I just want to add in a second issue, just it was made notice of at 4 o'clock this evening. It's just in relation to a bit of vandalism that has taken place in the square in the Moy. War Memorial seems to have been attacked. Poppy wreaths have been scattered across the area. There was four flower pots, matching flower pots, at the centre of the four corners. One of them has been smashed, but also I think there's a number of trees had been planted in recent times or recent years. Has at least two, if not three of them, have been uprooted in the Moy Square as well. So perhaps maybe if officers could look at that or make contact with the Royal British Legion in relation to that as well. The issue I did make you aware of, Chair, was just as welcoming the announcement just on the 15th of June there from the DFI Minister in relation to the £17 million recovery fund for Northern Ireland Rural Roads. Now, this is much welcomed, and I know if I was in charge of the budget, I could spend a lot of it around the Dungannon DEA, and I'm sure every councillor would be the same. But, Chair, I just want to make reference to the DEA meetings, which we all attended in our areas, and I think they were maybe just a few days before that, but the engineers, representatives from DFA, were informing us of a legal challenge or a contract dispute, and they have been told by the department officials that they are not to program any resurfacing works this financial year. So we just, I think, Chair, we need to write to the Minister urgently just to clarify the situation. You know, it's great with the announcement, but then locally we're told that there's going to be no resurfacing. There's a couple of resurfacing jobs going on in the Bush and Killyman at the moment, but they were programmed from last year. But other than that, I'm told there's going to be no resurfacing in Dungannon right across Mid Ulster. So I think we need to clarify that with the Minister.
Councillor Wilson, you indicated to come in there.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on the same issue, it's maybe as far as to say there'll be no tarring done. Resurfacing, surface dressing will be done. Surface dressing will be done, but there'll be no tarring or as Councillor Culverton said, that sort of work being done. And therefore, while it's okay to write to the Minister, I don't have a problem with that. I think we should seek an urgent meeting with the local officials here to find out exactly what's happening and indeed what will take place and what we expect to take place over the next 12 months.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask, Chair, is an annual report normally based in June, but last year it was maybe October because of COVID. When's that taking place this year?
July, I'm being told. Okay. So we'll bring those two maybe to tandem and see what we can do there. Okay. So we'll leave that and our officials come back to us on that there. Okay.
Chair.
Councillor Burton, I'm told.
Chair, sorry, I had indicated. Chair, on the back of that, and I do, you know, be very concerned about the state of the rural roads, but I also think, having attended the DEA to the Clubber Valley area, there is also, I believe, a lot of work that's been set aside. It used to be the local teams were able to deliver because they had men on the ground working, and there seems to be a lot of the staff has either retired out or are often stressed at the minute or sick leave, and they have not been replaced. So I think, as well as that, you know, as well as the issues we're facing here, there seems to be an awful lot of work or more work going the route of contractors, and that in itself also brings issues, and I believe maybe a bit of money that's possibly, you know, the feeling out there would be some people think that there's more money tied up in that, whereas if it was done through the local road service, then the money might go a wee bit further. So I think we also maybe need to look at the team that's there locally to try and support work for the area that we all represent. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, there's a couple of other people have indicated, so I'm going to... Councillor Kerr.
Thanks, Chair. Just what Francis has said, I've heard the same from road service officials that they're off on sick or stress. The area inspectors, they're not being replaced, so there's a bigger workload, but there's not people to carry the work out. I also think it would be beneficial that if a... the local Saxon engineers could give us email addresses to the appropriate local Saxon, because I'd recently contacted one person, but he informed me that he has moved on to a different area, so there's confusion there, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor McKinney.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on there, yeah. Look, thank you very much for letting me come in, Chair, and welcome you to your new post. I think I agree with moving back to second Councillor Watson's proposal there, having an urgent meeting, because there's no point us all rehearsing the meetings that we've had with our local officers with their hands is tied. So I think we need to go to the top and sort out this procurement. It's all to do with procurement, and there's roads in my area here. The Auckland Road was promised to be done after the new road opened. It's been on a waiting list for 3 years, and we're going to do it. And now they tell me they can't move forward to spend the money which they already have allocated because of procurement. So we can talk and waffle about it all night. We need to go straight to the top and get the problem sorted out, get this money fixed onto the roads that are so badly needed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mullen.
Thanks, Chair. I wrote to you on this issue as well in terms of raising this to Council. And I think, you know, the seriousness of this situation can't be underestimated, because not only have we got the situation where defected roads can't get that infrastructure put in place for proper repair. I mean, it's fine to send guys out to fix potholes, and we can do that all day long, but unless we're doing the proper structural repairs to roads and doing resurfacing on them, they're just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And the problem that's going to happen here is not only the fact that these big contractors are going to law and they're taking lumps out of each other in terms of getting the work, but for 12 months now, there's not going to be a road resurfaced here. And that's going to cause serious, serious problem for everybody that lives here. And as well as that, the people who work for these companies are going to be left, obviously, without work now for 12 months, because they're not going to be doing the resurfacing that needs to be done. So this is a fundamental misstep by the Department for Infrastructure by not carrying out this procurement process properly, because the fact that the companies were able to challenge us in the courts successfully and for the department to withdraw the process indicates that something has went really badly wrong. So this is not, I feel, an issue for local officials, because they're going to tell you, look, this doesn't sit with us, this sits with the people in Belfast or whatever. So that's where we need to go with this here. And for whoever's send the letter or whatever way we're addressing this here, I don't think for one second we can underestimate how difficult this is going to be for road users right across from Ulster over the next 12 months. Because it's not just 12 months of having no resurfacing done, it's a catch-up process that then happens the following 12 months. And I feel devastated, actually, for the local engineers who, to be fair, really do work hard and try and get money onto the ground. Like, I know in my area that whenever money becomes available, he's very good at getting it spent quickly and making a real good job of it. And now all those jobs that, you know, they're committed to them and they've promised them and all the rest of them, they're off the books, they're gone, and that's going to be really, really hard for people to accept. So I think we need to be hitting this as hard as we can, Chair, and I'm sure you'll do a good job in leading the charge on it.
Okay. I think all the points are well noted, and the officers will get on the ball and organise a meeting at the highest level we can do to get something sorted out, and then we'll come back to you with that. Councillor Mallon, you have also indicated under Chair's business, okay? That's all covered in that there. You're happy enough? I just want to be sure. Councillor Wilson, you had also another issue under Chair's business. Congratulations.
Mr Chair, and this will then fall in with your new relationship that, or sorry, your new rules that will take place, because these could actually come before a committee. So it's an ideal opportunity now, while I raise them now, but in future it will come here. So, Mr Chair, I would too, like Councillor Ashton, I would second her proposal that you write to the for the birthday honours, but also in that, could you also write to the Sin Lee takeaway in Cookstown, the Chinese takeaway? They've just won the first best takeaway in Northern Ireland at the recent takeaway awards. And while it's also mentioned within that as well, the Fairhill Pizzeria, neither of the two, but it comes highly commended. So well done to both those organisations. But also, Mr Chair, I've mentioned it in the Environment Committee, but it's an opportunity now to raise it again. The two Cookstown hockey players who now will represent Team GB, David Eames and Ian Sloan, both from Cookstown, both the product of the Cookstown Hockey Club, and they're a credit to themselves, to their families and to Cookstown, because when they come back, they always organise with youth coaching sessions, so to that. And also, the last one, Mr Chair, would be to the Henry brothers themselves, who, through the Belfast Telegraph Awards, won the Excellence in Workplace Health and Wellbeing. So thank you for that.
Fair enough. There. Okay, thank you. I think I've already acknowledged through some of the statements out about the some of the restaurants, so that's okay, but we'll do that as well. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you, folks, and Chair's business. We'll move on then to matters for decision, item number 4, and that is the Council minutes of meeting held on the 27th of May 2021. Could we have a proposer and a seconder?
Chair, sorry. just a wee issue I want to raise on it. It's more or less a comment. Just under C-102, bar 21, where I drew attention last month to the concerns around the 3G pitch earmarked for Wembley Park. I just want to state, like other councillors, attended the pitch strategy consultation, which was in Dungannon Leisure Centre, and as you know, those three events across from Mid-Ulster. But, Chair, the message that I picked up from that meeting was clear and loud, that the message was coming out: we do not want any more non-competitive pitches. And Chair, I think we nearly need to think, I'm not going to put this to a vote tonight because I know the feeling was strong for it, but I just want to, it's not fully ticked, the boxes aren't all ticked, there's no plan and all got yet, but I just want officers and all to consider this again, because the amount of money that we're spending on this and our pitch strategy meeting, the message is clear: they do not want any more non-competitive pitches. We want to spend that sort of money on pitches that are up for competitive sports, that everybody can play on, which are valuable to the community. So it's just the amount of the expenditure on it, we need to be careful going forward.
Okay. Councillor Colvin, is your hand up there? Yes. On the same issue.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, on the minutes, it's really just on page 27 of the minutes, just to clarify something that I said that perhaps doesn't make just so much sense when you can read it. What I was saying there is the fourth paragraph in the bottom, Chair, where it says Councillor Colvin said it across the world. What I'm saying is people across the world wanted to learn English. That is the language you need to learn, and that's one you have to have if you're going to progress. And in fact, Mandarin could have been mentioned as the largest native language in the world, but the largest spoken language in the world is English. And anybody that wants to Google it, you can find there's 1.132 billion English speakers in the world, and there's 1.117 Mandarin Chinese speakers. So it's just to clarify that, please, Chair, if that would be all right. I think it makes more sense then. Thank you.
Okay, those items, could I have, sorry, Councillor McLennan?
We bit of a change in the minutes, page 40. I had said on with regard to the motion on autism. If you look down through it, I had said she highlighted that autism NI no longer exists. It's actually autism Mid-Ulster no longer exists. And further on down, I had related to autism group. Let's see where that is, Eileen. Sorry, apologies. It's actually I mentioned the group facts. As the autism group, the families had set up a group. It was actually the group facts was set up there. Also, Mr. Chairman, I wanted to ask, I had requested that we would organise a workshop. I just wanted to know where that's at. Have we any dates in mind of when we could have that? Thank you.
Sure. Adrian here.
Okay, Chair, all actions are in hand, as you can imagine, there were multiple actions from last month, so all actions are being progressed, and as and when dates are established, members will be notified.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, sorry, a point of clarity to you, Trevor?
Yes, Mr. Chair. It said on the on the notice of motion as regards the LBGT, it said Councillor Wilson said they would support discrimination of any form, when indeed it should read that they wouldn't support.
A little bit clarified.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Norris.
Thank you, Chair. I was just not going to come in under the minutes of C098/21. Just at last month's council meeting, I was talking about me and Francie Malloy had went down to visit the allot mills and new mills, and there was to be a community litter pick between new mills and Brackville Football Club, but unfortunately there was a sad passing of Joshua Griggs. I know that a lot of people would know his father, and he would work quite closely with council. I was just looking to see, Chair, if you would be minded to maybe send a letter to Brackville Club and to the minister that held Joshua's memorial that day. It was very representative. Joshua is very representative of what peace and reconciliation in this country really means. To see a minister given, mass or church on Brackville GA pitch, it was a real privilege, I suppose, to be at it, and I think it was very representative of Joshua's life that, even in his death, he was bringing the two sides of the community together. Now, there is going to be a litter pick on the 3rd of July again, so I would just encourage anyone that can get involved in that to get involved, and if you would be minded, Chair, I would appreciate if a letter could be sent to Brackville and the minister just for the service that was given that day.
Yep, that can be arranged. That's not a problem. Councillor Kerr, on the same issue.
Same issue, Chair. I was going to raise it on our PR. I'd just also like to extend my condolences to the Craig family. They say one of the greatest tragedies is for their parents to outlive their child. Joshua is to be commended for crossing the perceived line and participating in Gaelic football. He was a very active and enthusiastic member of Brackville GA, even winning Player of the Year for the reserves and representing Tyrone at underage level. Chair, it was very sad to visit him in the wake, to see him in the Brackville polo shirt, and may you rest in peace.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Right, with all those items, can we have a proposer and a seconder for the acceptance of Councillor Doris? Propose. Councillor McPeak, second. Okay, all in favour? Thank you. Okay, item 5, it was the AGM meeting held on the 7th of June. And unless there's any issues, could I have a proposer second?
I propose, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Bert McKinnon, Councillor Kerr, second. Okay, all in favour? Thank you. Okay, item 6 then, Planning Committee minutes of meeting held on the 8th of June to 2021. So we can have a proposer and a seconder. Councillor Black.
Thank you, Chair. I declare to interest on the night, so just to have them delivered again tonight, please.
Okay, Councillor Brown, your hand up.
Happy to propose, Chair, for the minutes of the planning meeting.
Councillor McPeak, you seconds? Okay, thank you. So proposing seconds, all in favour? Thank you. Item 7, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 10th of June 2021. Councillor Kerr.
Chair, just an issue, PR 11321, just a response to the consultation on DERA on disability in rural areas. Just currently, there's 1 billion people in the world who have a disability, 50% of the world's population. They face significant challenges, including negative attitudes, discrimination, and lack of accessibility. People with disabilities are also more likely to face poverty. Sometimes people with disabilities are seen as objects of charity, medical treatment, and social protection, not as individuals who are capable of exercising rights. We should be trying to change this attitudes and help people with disabilities realise their full potential in all aspects of life. Another issue, Chair, as I previously mentioned, is accessibility. With people who have disabilities in rural areas, a previous proposal that raised that development was to include disabled-friendly park benches and street furniture. I would like this included in the consultation. I'd also like to raise at this meeting the need for road service to be more willing to lower curbing in housing estates, particularly estates which were built many decades ago. Many elderly people and carers face this issue many times on daily occurrence, and sometimes they feel discouraged to leave the house due to this. While this is a national draft, perhaps we could do more on a local level to lobby road service to see this these people's needs and not blame budget restrictions.
Okay. Two online here. Councillor McKinney, hand up.
Thank you, Chair. My hand's up since Chair's business, but somebody's missed me.
Well, apologies because you didn't take it down, so we just thought it was by accident. No, apologies for that.
I'll put it back up again. You know, it's a simple thing. I'd like you to send a letter to the CEO of Tom Moore Concrete, David Henderson, on the award that he won of true leadership. On United Kingdom level, so just not just a local award, he has made a good achievement for the local area. So I'll be grateful if you could send a letter there. I'm happy enough to second the PNR minutes as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, and apologies for that. Councillor Curry.
Thanks, Chair. It's the PNR, it's PR 11221. It's just in relation to the LPS, you know. I've been asking about a meeting with the LPS for quite some time, to be 6 or 8 months now. I do think it's in the light of the spotlight programme about the North Coast and how you know, property leasing and back purchase and selling is so critical for councils to move forward, especially ourselves. We've got quite a large capital projects programme on everything, so I think we need to prioritise this meeting. It doesn't have to be in one of the working groups. I'm more happy just to have an open meeting with any council to come along, and we can talk to representatives of the LPS and try and understand what's going on. Because really, if we get caught out badly, Chair, on something like this, and it's important all councillors fully understand how LPS works and what the process is.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Curry. I'm being reliably informed that JJ has already the wheels moving on this one, and therefore we'll be bringing something forward in the not too distant future. So that's positive from that aspect. Councillor Dorris.
Yeah, I was just looking at second Don's proposal in relation to the park benches and stuff for people with disabilities. We actually had a walk around there for the public realm scheme in Clyland. The minister was there last week, and it went brilliantly well. And I think it's like a really good example of, you know, including the disability forum in these projects the whole way along. Now, they had actually just said, Ursula had said when she was there, that the benches that's there currently just wouldn't really suit people with mobility issues in terms of, you know, getting off the bench and stuff like that. So would like to see maybe if some of those pieces could be included just as a finishing touches to the public realm scheme. But no, just wanted to second that proposal that's included on the consultation. Thank you.
Okay, happy enough to take on board. All right, thank you very much. Okay, we have we a proposer for the minutes? Councillor Dawes, and I know Councillor McKinney seconds it, so that's okay. All right, thank you very much. Moving on to item 8, which is the Environment Committee minutes of meeting held on the 15th of June. Councillor Kerr.
Chair, just two issues. The first one's E153-21. It's just about the defibrillators. I already spoke on the issue in Development Committee, Chair, but could we do more to encourage staff to receive training in the usage of defibs, CPR, first aid and training? I know it's offered to council staff and it's been put on hold due to COVID, but could we try and just reinstate and get the message out there, because it's still in the public domain what happened to Christopher Eriksson, the Danish footballer, Chair. I don't know if I make other proposal or not, Chair, or just take the comment back to the relevant committee.
I think we'll take it back to the relevant committee. It's noted. Councillor Brown.
Happy to propose the minutes, Chair, of the environment meeting.
Okay, we have a proposer for the minutes. Seconds are for the minutes, please. Councillor Graham. Okay. No issues. All in favour. Thank you. Okay, on to item 9, Development Committee minutes of meeting held on the 17th of June. I have two people on screen. Councillor Brown, will you take your hand down if you haven't got to speak? Councillor Glasgow.
Sorry, Chair. I needed to declare an interest in my lodge is one of the groups that's been awarded funding through the council. I don't exactly know which paper, but it's within that development paper anyway.
Okay. Councillor Curry, hand up. Councillor Curry.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to ask her just on another one. It's when we had a good forum on the St. Patrick's Day next year. Does the council, we're always important to find out better ways of running organisations, running events like this, and so it's not to speak against it, it's just to try and understand the structure and how it is developed to where it is. Because some years it is, depending obviously on the weather, some years it is very successful with good weather. But my question here is, does the event get any additional council staff support or other indirect support on top of the grant?
I'm going to ask Adrian to do, but I think the best place to do that is bring it to the next development committee, but I'll ask Adrian to deal with the issue of the finance.
Absolutely, Chair. We wouldn't have those specifics in front of me this evening, and it's appropriate that we can pick those up, Councillor Cuddy, and respond to them in detail at the next development committee.
Okay.
Councillor McPeak.
Chair, similarly, I want to declare an interest. It's in the Development Committee minutes at some point too, but just the awards of funding for Erin's Own GAC Levy and Terminini Young at Heart Club.
Okay, thank you much. Councillor Kerr? Right, okay. Councillor Brown?
Thank you, Chair. I need to declare an interest on two groups out of that minutes for the award of funding.
Okay. Councillor Burton?
Yeah, Chair. Page 105, which overlaid, and page 106. I just want to check with Adrian, is there any more with the summer approaching and a lot more people being outside, obviously with this whole COVID thing. There is a lot of people have been inquiring in relation to Ballygolly playing fields and the idea of having toilets open there. Is there any more progress made on that, Adrian? Thank you, Chair.
Once again, Chair, we can provide a more detailed update at the pending Environment Committee the week after next.
Okay, Councillor Clark. Sorry, Councillor Clark?
Yes, can you hear me?
No, just about. Shout a wee bit louder.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello.
We can just about hear you. Sorry, Councillor Clark, your connection is very bad and we can hardly hear you. We got a wee bit of declaring an interest, but that's as far as I picked up. Okay, you reaffirm. Thank you. All right, Councillor Corey.
Thank you, Chair. Just the same, declaring an interest in two items that are the groups that got funding from the development or the development meeting. Sorry, okay. I asked me if I spoke at the meeting about it.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we have quite. Who? Councillor Kerr proposed. Dominic, seconds. All in favour? Okay, thank you. All right. On to civic recognition report. Philip, I think it is you. All right, caught him unawares.
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. Just a very short report, and there are three requests that come in from the last meeting of Council, and they're down to receive a correspondence from yourself as Chair, and it's on for approval of the meeting here this evening, Chair, members.
Okay, Councillor Kerr.
Chair, could the Clyne Boys Soccer Club, who won the Red Nail Cup, be included in the letter of congratulations being sent from yourself?
Okay. I will take it this time, but I'm being clear about it now. I want things to run as it set out. Councillor Brian McGuigan, you're making a proposal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Somebody to second that? All right, Councillor Malloy, thank you very much. All in favour? Thank you. We'll include that. Yes, that's okay. All right. Conference report. Philip, yourself again.
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. The report has set out with the details of seminars here from NILGA, and there's actually two programmes have been communicated to us, and it's on for approval here tonight for any member who wishes to attend those. And the NILGA sessions are the local planning programme, ILM course, which commences on the 24th of September, and the leadership programme. And the NILGA are looking for three members to attend that on behalf of Council. But if we get the approval for any member to attend after the meeting, we will go out to all members if anybody wishes to attend any of those sessions. And as part of the report as well, there's two requests for staff to attend conferences as outlined under Appendix B of the report, Chair.
Okay, you've heard the report and you've heard the request that if any members interested, then they contact Philip after the meeting and he'll start that process. Okay, happy enough. Have a proposal and second for the report.
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed, thank you. Councillor Burton, Councillor Wilson, second. Okay, thank you. Okay, folks, that's matters for information. Moving. Correspondence. My apologies. Item 12. So, Philip again.
Yes, with regards to this report is correspondence which we've received in officially since the last meeting of Council, and they're outlined as part of the meeting pack here tonight, and the correspondence received are as listed in the report for the information of any members here tonight, and they're attached as Appendix A down to H of the report, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Ashton, you looking to come in there?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's just under correspondence, and I had raised it last month, but unfortunately it wasn't accepted. It's to do correspondence from ours, the North Down Council, and I would propose, Mr. Chairman, that we support their proposal to write to the Speaker of the Assembly and call for the reversal of the decision not to permit a stone sculpture to mark the Northern Ireland centenary to be placed at Stirling.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Sorry, sure. Councillor McPeak.
Chair, I understand what Councillor Ashton has said there, but I spoke on it last month also, and I wouldn't be of the view that we support this particular request. I think it should be dealt with in the parameters of the Assembly and the relevant commission there, and I don't think that we should adhere to that request by Ards and North Down, and I propose we don't.
Okay, I have a proposal not to. Have we a second for that proposal? Councillor Dorse. Okay. Councillor Ashton.
Somebody to second.
Sorry, Councillor Black, apologies.
You're okay, Chair, just to formally second Councillor Ashton's proposal.
Okay, was somebody else indicated there, was there? Councillor Cuddy, you were indicating there. You're on mute, sorry, Councillor Cuddy.
I wouldn't second it, but kind of as they come in, you know, as I say, it's something that is quite important to try and respect all the community, you know,
okay, we have two proposals. It's just so, in my opinion, it's just a straight for or against. So, therefore, you're either for the proposal or you're against the proposal. Okay, and that's I think that's been fair to everything. All right, so we're going to do a roll call again. So, Councillor Ashton.
Chair, for clarity, just which proposal are you taking?
Your proposal? So it's
for
the proposal, right. Councillor Bale?
Against.
Councillor Black?
For.
Councillor Brown?
For.
Councillor Buchanan?
For.
Councillor Burton?
For.
Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Colvin?
For.
Councillor Corey?
Against.
Councillor Cuddy?
For.
Councillor Cobbinson?
For.
Councillor Doris? Councillor Edder?
Against.
Councillor Ford?
For.
Councillor Gildernew?
Against.
Councillor Glasgow?
For.
Councillor Graham?
For.
Councillor Hughes?
For, Chair.
Councillor Kearney? Was absent tonight, sorry. Councillor Kerr?
Against.
Councillor Mahon? Councillor McAleer, Niall.
Against.
Councillor Sharon McAleer. Absent. Okay. Councillor McFlynn.
For.
Councillor McGuigan, Brian.
Against.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Against.
Councillor McKinney.
For.
Myself, for. Councillor John McNamee.
Against.
Councillor Donald McPeak.
Against.
Councillor Sean McPeak.
Against.
Councillor Ian Milne.
Against.
Councillor Dominic Malloy.
Against.
Councillor McTeith.
Against.
Councillor Mullen. Not here. Councillor O'Neill.
Against.
Councillor Quinn.
For.
Councillor Robinson.
Over, Chair.
Councillor Totten.
Against.
Councillor Wilson?
For.
Okay. The vote is lost. Okay. 19-18 against the proposal. Okay. Right. Philip, any other items of correspondence?
No, Chair, just as outlined in the report, unless any member wants to raise anything that's in the report, it's on for members' information this evening, Chair.
Sorry, Councillor Quinn, I can't see you behind the screen there. Apologies for that.
You're probably the luckiest man in the chamber tonight. You don't have to look at me. Chair, it's just in relation to the letter from DFI in relation to the aerodrome in Arbo. Chair, I think I suspected that the response that has been given by the Secretary was going to be the response. This, when I brought up the issue, it just wasn't to fix the potholes and the road in the aerodrome. This was to get a development of the aerodrome in general. And I think the DFI are taking the same line that they even took back in 2012, maybe before that, when Peter Robson was the Minister. And I know the Chief Executive knows about that argument back then. But this was for all ministers to get involved. This was the economy, Department for Communities, DFI, finance. This is what's needed in order to develop this area and to get the discussion going, Chair. And I was propose that instead of waiting for Stormont to pick somebody to try and organise this meeting together, that somebody in our own council is picked to try and organise. And it is, and I understand the pressure and the hassle that trying to get this meeting together is going to be, but I think it's only going to happen if we take the lead on it, Chair. And so I propose that we have somebody part of this council to try and organise that meeting together to talk about the agenda. Thank you.
Is that something that should be taken back to one of our committees?
Yes, Chair. It will require a humongous effort, that's for sure, by this council, because this is a regional strategic issue. And we've already corresponded at the very highest level with the department. And if the department is not minded, it's very difficult for a council officer to be any more effective than that. So I appreciate the sentiments of the proposal. If you're happy, Chair, and if the proposer's happy, let us consider it, and we will bring a suitable response back to the Environment Committee.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then, item 13, folks, on the agenda is consultations. So, therefore, unless anybody wants to raise something, Councilman, sorry. Oh, sorry, a proposer and a seconder for the report. On this? Sorry, right, we'll take that then. Go ahead. Right, okay. Go ahead, Councillor Monteith.
It was on the call for the housing chair. I had it up there, and then calling for evidence on supply for housing, or housing supply strategy, call for evidence to get the terminology right. But I see that the closing date's the 16th of July, so could I propose that we maybe give development the authority to ratify a response, or if that's coming too quick at officers, that maybe there's a one-off workshop for interested councillors to finalise something for the 16th of August. I think it'd be important that we contribute to it, Chair.
Okay. That's some consultations. We're looking for correspondence.
Hello.
Hold on, Councillor Clark.
Sorry.
Right. Are you looking on correspondence? Yeah. Right. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just looking to come in relation to the response that came back from the Department of the Economy in relation to the pay for victims of domestic abuse. Look, I suppose I'm not overly happy with the response that's there. Yes, I understand that there is a process that they're going through at the minute in terms of parental bereavement, and there's no doubt that is urgent and that needs to be sorted, but I'm not really happy that there isn't a plan, I suppose, at least put in place in relation to the payment for victims of domestic abuse. You know, this will only cause further trauma to people in that situation, and it will only possibly cause further lives to be lost in the meantime. So I would like to propose that we write back to that letter and just say that we are dissatisfied, I suppose, with the response. 100% understand that these things take time, but it would have at least been nice to see the wheels set in motion on this. So I'd like
to
propose that.
Okay, you've heard that's a proposal. Can I have a seconder for that proposal? Okay, Councillor Kerr. All right. We have two speakers here. Councillor Clark, do you want to come in on the same item?
Oh.
Okay, Councillor Colvin, do you want to come in on the same item?
Yes, Chair, I'd like to follow Councillor Monteith's comments about this housing supply.
Right, okay, we'll just wait on that. We'll come back to you now. So we're going to.
Thank you.
So we've got a proposer and a second, sir, for the right back to the Minister on this issue of domestic abuse. Are we happy enough that happens? Can we have all in favour? Yep, nobody did it then. Okay, then we'll do that. Okay, I'm happy enough that happened. That's an important issue. Okay, so item 13 then, we're on to consultations now. Okay, so Councillor Monteith did raise the issue. Okay, happy enough that we do that one. Then we have two other speakers. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Any networks consultation on the facilitation of energy storage systems? The closing date is the 16th of July, but I think that's an important one, and I think that we need to make a response to it. So whether that's ready for planning or development, I'm not sure.
Okay. Duly noted by the officer. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Colvin.
Chair, yes, following Councillor Matisse's comments about the housing supply, absolutely you need to look at housing supply, particularly in relation to social housing. Fully agree with that. What it cannot be taken in isolation from the reality that our infrastructure is not fit for purpose in terms of sewerage. And the reason it's not fit for purpose is because year after year, the Northern Ireland Water ask for a certain sum of money to be invested in the structure by Stormont, and Stormont always gives them half of what they need. The reality is we've arrived at a situation now where we're going to have a roadblock. There are developers that cannot take this. I know one outside this council where a factory that's going to create 50 or 60 jobs could not be given planning permission because the infrastructure wasn't there to take away the sewerage. We have a similar situation locally with housing developments from the budget and adequate sewage facilities, and that is causing problems to the people that bought the houses and they come to light. And they were foreseeable. All these things were foreseeable. Now, this thing here talks about housing supply strategy. That strategy will have no foundation at all unless the infrastructure is in place to support it. And I think we need to send a very strong message from this council because it impacts on us, it impacts on all councils. And without the foundations, you can't build a house, as you know very well, Chair. So we need the infrastructure in place. I think that message needs to come through very, very strongly in the consultation. It's not an isolated thing. It needs to be joined together. And it's a coherent argument that we both have to run together, and we do need the investment, and Storm needs to step up and take this.
Okay, that's a very valid point. Thank you very much, Councillor Culberson.
That's a different issue.
Okay, is there anyone else wants to comment on that? Okay. Happy enough for that to be included within that process, and your point well made and a very valid one. Thank you very much. Councillor Culberson.
Chair, just on to the dear one, consultation and proposed changes to carrier bags. Now, we all recognise the great positive approach that the plastic carrier bags levy has brought to the environment, and it has reduced the number of bags you see stuck in the hedges and stuff, but I think that a bit of common sense needs to be had maybe in relation to, they're talking about removing exemptions and all sorts of paper bags here. You know, you use paper bags should you go to the pharmacy to get your prescription, you use it to get hot food, and you know, paper is recyclable as well, you know, and it's biodegradable more so than plastic. So I think they just need to use a bit of common sense, and I propose that we'd be against the removing of the exemptions on certain paper bags.
Okay, Councillor Cuddy.
I just want to second the. I work in the retail, so I think what the Councillor Cuddy said is exactly spot on. So we need to make sure that it's common sense. The first step, the second step isn't common sense. So I think we should put that message back to this government.
Okay, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. It's a comment in relation to, you know, paper bags may be disintegrated or whatever, but the rural roads are an absolute disaster with the amount of paper bags, cartons, drinks containers, coffee containers. They're being dumped in bagfuls, bucketfuls along all country roads. And I think that we have to look at some way of addressing that issue.
Okay. Councillor Mulligan, want to come in there?
Can you just, sorry, Chair, for clarity, what is it the proposal is again that Councillor Cuthbert is making?
A common sense approach.
It's in relation to removing exemptions on paper bags. Now, paper bags doesn't cover the polystyrene chip things and cups that Councillor Clark's talking about. That doesn't come into it. This is a levy on the paper bag itself that you'll be getting in the chemist, getting in the sweet shop, getting in hot food counter. You, everybody needs a bag to hold these items.
Okay. All right. So there's a clarity there that sort of the cups and polystyrene things are not included within that, but it's simply that there's a common sense approach in relation to the exemption of the paper bag. Okay, that we would use on an everyday basis. Is there Mark Calso on there, yes. Mark, do you want to come in on that issue?
Chair members, yes. I'm hoping that we could bring the paper to the next environment committee just to update them on the draft response, so we'll have a chance to comment on
that. Okay, that's very wise. Okay, Councillor Malloy.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, in relation to the NIE networks, I know that is raised already about bringing it back to...
Sorry, are we all happy that that's what happens? We'll bring it back to environment, get a good discussion there, and then, therefore, there's a sensible approach brought back. Okay, sorry. Councillor Malloy, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to the NIE networks, storage facilities, if we can just... I know it's delegated to come back to committee, and it probably will be environment or planning, but if we can get an understanding, Chair, if officers can bring some kind of... education to us as to what exactly this entails, what it means, and the environmental impact that there may be from these storage facilities.
Okay, noted. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, folks, thank you very much. All on item 13. But we're into notices of motion, item 14, and the first motion is by Councillor McPeak to move.
Thank you, Chair. I'll begin by saying if the recent COVID pandemic has learned us anything, it's of the growing importance of being able to have adequate broadband speeds in order to communicate and manage our lives in ways that are viewed as the now normal within most other regions. Whether it has been the increasing number of people who have had to work from home, or for the large number of students needing good connectivity for homeschooling and educational purposes, adequate broadband speeds are vitally important. High-speed broadband is every bit as essential as all utilities, such as water or electricity, and it needs to be made readily available to everyone, regardless of whether they live in an urban or a rural area. In recent times, we have all welcomed the announcement of the £165 million financial package made available for Project Stratum. This high-speed broadband scheme has been lauded as the panacea needed for rural areas such as Mid-Ulster in order to achieve adequate broadband speeds. However, in recent times, many residents have been left disappointed on checking online with the Department of the Economy's Project Stratum availability checker, in that there are no plans for their premises to be included within this upcoming scheme. This is particularly disappointing to those learning that many premises adjacent to their own are eligible, whilst theirs may be not. Through the valuable work of our council officers team, who initiated a recent district-wide broadband survey, this uncovered areas and premises that are outside the reach of Project Stratum. We have been able to then achieve a fairly representative and accurate picture of the discrepancies and the anomalies in the planned high-speed broadband provision. We were told by the Department of Economy officials that there would be approximately 12,000 premises in Mid-Ulster which were planned to be included within Project Stratum. These premises were either presently not receiving 30 megabits per second or were not included in the future plans to receive similar broadband speeds through another telecoms provider. However, in addition to these premises, there are also several hundred other premises that fall completely outside Project Stratum's plans. Within these, there are many premises which, for a variety of reasons, not of their own making, I feel warrant inclusion within the scheme. When I questioned the department officials and gave examples of the many anomalies on the planned premises availability at our recent broadband working group meeting, these officials agreed to again look at those premises who have been declared presently outside the scope of Stratum and to determine which of them may warrant inclusion again. These officials state that any additional premises identified for inclusion will require additional funding to be found, as these premises will not have been budgeted for within the present Stratum business case. Members, I mention all this by way of background information and to set the context and the thrust for my motion here this evening. As there has been no additional broadband monies guaranteed for any additional broadband interventions, my motion relates to a possible opportunity to recover much of the monies required to plug the missing gaps in broadband provision. My motion relates to last week's NI Audit Office report and to two previous and separate broadband schemes here in the North. One was initiated in 2016, and it was the NI Broadband Investment Programme, or BIP for short, And the second one was called the Superfast Rollout Programme, or SRP, and that was delivered in 2018. These programmes received in excess of £35 million of public funding at the time of their delivery. The Audit Office report last week was prompted through a request from the ICBAN, the Irish Central Border Area Network, and at this stage I want to declare an interest in ICBAN as a council representative here, along with another number of councillors. But ICBAN has for some time now been doing some valuable research work into what its members feel as successive government and departmental failures at addressing broadband provision in the ICBAN area. In 2018, the then ICBAN chair, Councillor Cathal Mulhan, commissioned the services of Dr. Mike Kelly, an eminent expert in telecommunications, to compile two separate reports on broadband services and the lack thereof within the ICBAN area. These reports were commissioned through Dr. Kelly, and these strengthened our beliefs that rural areas such as Mid Ulster and Fermanagh Oma have been left behind in the rollouts of broadband services, and that these areas were bottom of the pile in terms of the worst broadband provision of any regions within these islands. In 2018, we took the evidence within Dr. Kelly's report, and it was presented to the Audit Office, and we requested their support in investigating how broadband services were provided for and commissioned throughout the North. We can now say that this week's Northern Ireland Audit Office report cast grave shadows on how these two broadband projects were awarded, and questions as to whether there was actually any value for money at all in the way they were delivered. The report states that it is possible that the public purse can claw back funding paid to the company awarded the broadband contract, both contracts, in this case BT, and that money can be awarded if the contractor has spent less than was expected within its business case, or if more customers actually took up the broadband service than had been estimated for. In the case of the two BAP and SRP schemes for the department, the department had expected the take-up to be in the region of 20%, but in fact the BAP scheme had a take-up customer level of 66%, and the SRP scheme has had a take-up level of customers of 33%, and this is expected to rise much further. Because of this much higher than anticipated take-up, the Audit Office is now stating that there can be anticipated financial clawbacks from BT, and this may be possible somewhere in the region between £14 million and £35 million, which in itself is a significant amount of money. Members, I hope that lessons have been learned from the findings of this week's published report. And to conclude, I am calling on government to ensure that any clawback monies recovered from BT as a consequence of this Audit Office report are redirected straight into areas such as Mid-Ulster with the worst broadband speeds, areas which we already know will still have premises that are not planned to be within the reach of the forthcoming project stratum, and which will require additional financial interventions. I believe it's only right and fitting that any clawbacks received should be directed towards broadband provision to these areas. I ask this Council that we communicate this request to the Department of the Economy and the Public Accounts Committee in Stormont, and any other relevant governmental departments charged with the reallocation of any monies due to this clawback. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Corey.
For my other chair, I would like to second Councillor Murphy's motion. As he has said, broadband is now the fourth utility, and the pandemic has highlighted that, and I have no doubt that the utility will increase even further in importance in the future. Indeed, it has been essential for those who are vulnerable to get food and supplies, for social interaction, for education, for work, and even for some health appointments, among other reasons. As representatives, it is constantly raised about the inadequacy of broadband in rural areas, and that many of our residents are getting left behind. I have people contact me about having to take time off work as they were unable to access broadband, losing out on business opportunities and jobs, and children missing lessons. Many don't have a service that meets their needs and still have to pay the same as those who do. And many have no service at all. This is simply not good enough. People in rural communities should have the same access opportunities as those in more populated areas. I would like to take the opportunity to thank ICFA and those involved here tonight who requested the Audit Office to commission this report and welcome its findings. It is concerning that BT were allowed to self-certify costs, that there is insufficient assurance that contracts were priced economically and the value of the money was represented. The projects fell well below the objectives the AFB had set of reaching 117,590 premises, with BT's bid covering only 45,703 premises. They also raised concerns the public support should have been directed to the more needy areas. Mount Ulster Council has been to the fore and working towards getting all our residents access to good quality broadband, and I thank the council team and fellow councillors for their diligence and determination to rectify these issues. I'm sure we can all agree that with Councillor McPeak that lessons need to be learned, and that any money clawed back must be directed to rural areas such as Mount Ulster, and especially for those who once again find themselves outside the most recent project Strata. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Mahon.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to Councillor Sean McPeak for bringing the motion forward. And I remember the day going with Shane Campbell, the Chief Executive of ICBAN, to the Audit Office in Belfast, and immediately the officers within the organisation got it. They understood exactly what we were trying to tell them. And almost 4 years later, we see this report published, which will result in somewhere between £14 and £30 million, hopefully being recouped and reinvested back into rural broadband. And Chair, this is the third time that ICBAN have had a success like this in terms of levering money back from BT and being reinvested back into rural broadband. And I think, you know, it's a huge achievement for this cross-border group that they keep gaining and having these wins. And probably like yourself, Chair, you always be a bit nervous whenever you bring consultants in to do work on your behalf. But the work that Mike Keeley done in terms of really getting into the nub of this issue and finding out exactly what was going on, and the ability then for us in the Northern Councils to be able to share that information with the ones in the South who were going through the Broadband 2020 plan and be able to identify the potential flaws that were going to happen there was really, really valuable. So for the very small contribution that this organisation as a council makes in order to keep ICBAN going, you can see already the huge success that it has played in terms of ensuring that the people who have the public money that has went into BT in order to deliver broadband for the people, we get as much value out of it as possible. So thanks again to Sean, and I hope that in the future organisations like ICBAN can continue to hold these massive corporate identities to account.
Okay, Councillor Kerr.
Chair, I fully support the motion. BT being found culpable for lack of development broadband infrastructure using public funds is a foolish act on their behalf. Why not try and be active on getting decent broadband into rural and more difficult areas? This will help employment, improve connection for local communities and the whole array of reasons. So whether it be Fibris or BT or Openreach, they need held accountable whenever handed public funding.
Okay. Anyone else on the issue? If not, then we have a proposal. Sorry, Councillor Ashton. Apologies, didn't see you.
Okay, Chair, sorry. I'm experiencing very bad internet connections tonight, so I'll try and keep it brief. The Council has, as I said, Chair of the Broadband Working Group. The Council has done a lot of work in this area. I welcome Councillor McPeak's comments towards the officers that have done a huge amount of work in this area. I would ask Councillor McPeak, just maybe any correspondence or any feedback that maybe comes through that, is that our officers that are working in that working group could be kept updated, because our broadband provision, especially in the rural areas of the district, are extremely poor. And any support that we can get directed into it, it's very much welcome. So I would just ask if any outworkings of this motion could actually be then directed to the officers in the broadband working group.
No issue. That would be without a question, as it were. Okay, folks, we have heard. I don't see anybody that is in dissent of this. Sorry, Councillor Burton.
Chair, it's maybe going off slightly on broadband, but there is also lots of our areas that have very poor mobile phone coverage. I was contacted by a gentleman today from Castle Caulfield who has to stay in his garden to make calls. And I'm just wondering, I know this is probably only broadband, but I think as a council, and I've said it on to some of our officers, but I think we do need to be trying to make sure that the not spots, that people in rural areas just are expected to live with, get on with, and put up with, and yet they still charge the same cost as if you're getting a great service. I'm just wondering if our chief executive has any idea how we could maybe tackle that one as well on the back of this notice of motion, which I am fully in support of. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'm going to ask Adrian to say it.
Okay, Chair, I'm not being evasive. I think the motion is a distinct motion.
I think
the members have already made their decision on that, so I don't want to conflate the two
otherwise.
I'll take on board Councillor Burton's view and we'll consider it and bring it back to the appropriate committee.
Okay. Again, thanks, Councillor Burton. As I said, I don't see any dissenters or everybody in favour, so I'm not going to go through a whole roll call and a vote. So thank you very much, Councillor Meek. If you want to say anything in wrapping that up?
Not really, Chair. Just thank all the members and the political parties for supporting it.
Thank you. Okay, second notice of motion is in Councillor McKinney to move.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for being able to bring this forward tonight. Only the last motion, I feel that this is more positive than we've got so many bad spots or negative things to say. But just to the second there while we were talking there, when we talk about food and Mid Ulster, I would call it the capital of the food industry. And then looking around the programme or looking around the audience here tonight, you think of the old hot humble potato. And so many within the room tonight and those watching online have spent a day or two in the potato food and the food industry in that way. But I would just like to say about this motion, we have it all here in Mid Ulster, and I'm not here to promote any other part of the country here tonight. We are Mid Ulster Council, we're not Dungannon, we're not Cookstown, and we're not Macclesfield anymore. And this is something that I think each and every one of us can grab hold of about Mid Ulster and the ability it has to produce food, whether it's lambs from the foot of the Spearns, or milk from the Flocker Valley, or beef from the Mid Ulster Green Pastures, and pork from the Stewartstown pig farms, or chicken that is from the Dungannon. You know, and veg here, we're grown here in Mid Ulster, and not to mention the breads and the home bakeries that we have all over our doorstep here in Mid Ulster. No air miles required. You know, and once again, we're blessed in the Mid Ulster constituency that we have the two abattoirs in Dungannon to cater for the beef and lamb, but we have the chicken abattoir factory in Dungannon. We have the availability to process millions of litres of milk within the Cookstown Meal Farm, and all over here in Mid Ulster. We have the availability to be, well, self-sufficient, for want of a better way of putting it. You know, and I think of many of you have worked in the agri-food business over the year or year and a half that has passed. And I want to take this opportunity just to thank those in the agri-food industry who have kept food in our coverage, whether it's producer or whether it's processor, in so many ways. And even for those who have got up every morning under the circumstances. And we have seen times in the year that's passed where those processing plants had to be closed down due to COVID. And once again, they were able to bounce back. And we just thank you for those in the hospitality sector who have been closed for so much of the year that's passed. And successfully now they've been able to open their doors again and come back and do hospitality for the general public. Here within the Ulster.
And I can go on all night, as you know, I've been involved in food production and promote and talk about the goodness and the greatness of the food produced here within the Middle Ulster Valley, from starting off at the slaughter area right through to the Clocker Valley, right to Auchnacloy and right up around the foothills of the Spurns. But I think you've got my drift of what I want to say. So it's with great pleasure that I'm able to bring forward this motion this evening. The Council recognises the important contribution of the hospitality and the agri-food sector to the local economy. Further acknowledge that many consumers take account of the food miles and their eating choices, and wishes to facilitate the greater use of locally produced products by our hospitality outlets, and that it enables a designated website to connect the two sectors in a manner and a result that would be a mutual benefit to all. Thank you very much for listening to me, and now you have Councillor Glasgow come into the second bit of the motion. Thank
you. Okay, Councillor Glasgow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Commissioner McKinney. I'm not going to go over what has been pretty much said. Commissioner McKinney's put it firmly on the plate, if you pardon the pun. But no, he's right. Within this great district of ours in Mid Ulster, we should be incredibly proud of what we do produce from the farm to the fork when it arrives in the hospitality industry, whether that be the hotels across our towns, the cafes and the restaurants. The hospitality sector has stood the test like any other industry during this pandemic, where they haven't looked back. They've actually been proactive with their takeout menus during lockdown to ensure that we all have enjoyed the fine steak or the good pot of spuds that they've put on for us, to save all us hardworking people, just to save us bar cooking for one night. And if my mother's listening, she maybe appreciate that one. But all jokes aside, as Councillor McKinney says, our district is proud and should be proud, because our animals are farmed to the highest of standards, and traceability is to the highest of standards. We're one of the leaders throughout Northern Ireland in what we produce. And as we all visit the different venues of hospitality, whether it be a happy occasion, or whether it be a sad occasion, in particular, a couple of weeks ago, whenever I celebrated the age of 30, I thought that was probably the most sad occasion I've ever had. But we've all enjoyed a great feed and great hospitality from the food and drink industry within Mid Ulster, and it gives me great pleasure to second this important motion.
Thank you, Councillor Glasgow. You're only a cub compared to some of us. Okay, Councillor Culberson.
All right, Chair, and thank you. And we as a part of the DUP are happy to support the motion, and we recognise the contribution of the hospitality trade, and we pay tribute to them. The hospitality trade have suffered enormously over this period of lockdown. I know I, for one, have worked closely with the hospitality trade in Dungannon and South Tyrone area over lockdown. And it's fantastic to see the coffee shops, the cafes, the restaurants, etc., open for business. And you know, we're blessed in this part of Mid Ulster and South Tyrone. And we have people come from far and near across Northern Ireland to avail of the restaurants they have. And just regarding the agri-food sectors, we pay tribute to them also, but we fear there's a great fear out there amongst the farming community at the moment. It's in relation to the private members bill, which recently had its first reading at Stormont, and unfortunately three parties represented in the chamber here supported that first reading of the private members bill. I know it's the first stages of that, but that private members bill could potentially reduce farming by up to 50%, so that is fearful. Now, I believe the dear minister today has introduced a further bill of his own he's brought forward, and we just need to keep a close eye on what happens here, because we can't turn our back on farming and the rural agricultural sector in Northern Ireland. But this council agrees should support the hospitality and agri-food trade in every which way we can. Should that be through advertising, promoting them through tourism leaflets, support grants for businesses and encourage the use of local produce wherever we can, and we'll support the motion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Well, we will support the motion and quite happy to do it. Midlothian, this region exports 80% of what it produces. So we are a massive food producer, and I would say that Midlothian would be proportionately even higher, you know, would be producing a higher proportion accordingly of that. Now, we have things like Food Technology Unit in Lochry, way ahead of its time, you know, working to develop, assisting people to develop new lines of product, new streams, whatever. So, I think there's no, absolutely no reason why our retailers, and especially our retailers, have been complaining that they have empty shelves, because we have the product, and we have the people who can produce the specialist lines. So we have no issue at all in supporting this motion, and I think we need to put our product first. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Burton.
Yes, Chair, can I just add my agreement to Councillor McKinney's notice of motion as Chair of the Tourism Forum. We as a group within council here has worked very closely with the hospitality industry, and our staff have went the extra mile, both setting up webinars and working with the hospitality and coffee shops, the whole food industry right across the area, and I want to pay tribute to our staff for the work that they've done. Councillor McKinney's colleague, Councillor Glasgow, will be well aware of the work that has been going on in relation to the food miles that is regularly brought up at our Northern Ireland Local Government Association, and it is something of great concern. And I think what we want to be doing is supporting the circular economy and ensuring that food security is there, that we know where the food is produced or developed and where it comes from, and that we support local. I think the whole strapline during COVID was about shopping local and supporting local, and I hope going forward in the aftermath, when we finally get to grips with COVID, that people will endeavour where possible to support the smaller businesses and cafes and restaurants. And I think the whole focus has to be on local farming, local production, local distribution, and local consumption, and having a more locality-based economy, which is more sustainable, excuse me, especially for the rural economy and indeed for the environment. It also reduces carbon emissions and plastic use, refrigeration and transportation, and therefore our footprint in Mid-Ulster could be measured in local community food miles, not thousands of freight miles of import and exports. And we should set food mile reduction targets and create local jobs simultaneously. Food security is so important, and knowing where it comes from, and as Mark did create the poem about the plate, I'm going to say about from gate to plate. And also, I think we need to also support farmers to be able to adapt to change, and this is where sometimes our rural development can play a part in trying to get farmers to diversify into maybe growing something different or changing what they produce. And it's about looking at the challenges, but also really going for the opportunities. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Burton. Okay, that seems to be everybody that has indicated. And again, I don't believe there's any dissension from this, and therefore, unless I have, I'm not going to go through the painless process of voting. So I assume that everyone's in favour. Okay, I'm going to come back to Councillor McKinney. Do you want to wrap it up. Councillor McKinney, anything else you want to say?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to prolong the meeting, but I'd just like to thank everybody for their support of this motion. And I know there's many things that have been said there. But there's one thing I want to say before I left, that's a slogan that we can have for the newspaper or for those as Mid Ulster, get out and eat out. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, item number 16, another motion, and Councillor Donald McPeak to move.
Thank you, Chair. We move that that Mid Ulster District Council engage with colleagues in Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon Borough Council, Antrim and Newton Abbey Borough Council and the Lough Neagh Partnership with a view to re-energising efforts towards improving the management of Lough Neagh and securing its bed and soil. Given the recent focus and national reference to the strategic importance of the Ulster Canal and the economic benefits of green recovery strategy. An example, currently the lock is unsafe for commercial and recreational boats because there is no navigation authority on it. Of the six major rivers that flow into Lough Neagh, only three are navigable, but with the mouths needing dredging. Indeed, take the large town of Portadown, which is connection to Lough Neagh via the Upper Ban. The channel is no longer navigable, while there are still quays in the middle of Portadown. In conclusion, public and community ownership would ensure any income generated would not leave the Lough Shore community and subsequently would be invested in tourist development and infrastructure. That is why I move this motion tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Dawes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very happy to second this motion. I grew up in Derry Laughan along the shores of Lough Neagh, and generations of my family have resided near the shores of the Lough and depended on it for their livelihoods for countless years. Just one example of this being my great-great-granny Kate Duff, who walked from Mahery to Dungannon to sell fish from the Lough well into her 70s. It has been deeply disappointing to live near the biggest lough in Ireland all my life, yet year after year continues to be underdeveloped and underused. The potential for tourism and recreation activities in the Lough is huge. We just have to look at the lakes of Killarney and Kerry as an example of what we could recreate here in Mid Ulster along the shores of Lough Neagh. In my observation, the key issue for this underdevelopment is due to the lack of public ownership. There is no one that's more passionate about Lough Neagh than the people who live beside it. The locals are the people who care the most about the preservation and protection of the Lough and the unique habitats and wildlife surrounding it. And the locals are the ones who have accumulated generations of wisdom and experience to realise the potential of Lough Neagh in regards to the unique employment and recreational opportunities that the Lough provides. This is why it is essential that councils around the Lough work collectively together to get it into public ownership. We only have to look at the highly impressive examples of the Armdock Skies Observatory in Dava, or Seamus Heaney home place in Ballaghy as an example of how council is best fit to oversee local projects that attract worldwide visitors while maintaining the local authenticity of Mid Ulster. With the word staycation certified as a trend word of this year, it is especially frustrating that our hands are tied in relation to exploring the potential that Lough Neagh offers to our tourism capabilities. Francie Molloy MP has had a prior conversation with Shaftesbury and he has indicated that he would be happy for the Lough to be transferred into public ownership. So I very much welcome this motion coming forward from Councillor Donal McPeak, and I hope that all councillors here in Mid Ulster can support this motion so we can take the first steps into making the public ownership of Lough Neagh a reality after all these years. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Kerr.
Absolutely no issue with the motion, Chair. We should be doing everything in our power to look after Lough Neagh and collectively enhance it. Since being elected, I've been a huge advocate for the preservation of the Lough by looking after local employment, protecting the areas of scientific interest and encouraging tourism. As a corporate body, we should all be strongly against any attempts of drilling for oil or fossil fuels, which will absolutely ruin the Lough Neagh Basin and the ecosystem, which would ruin huge investment put in by council via the Washing Bay Walkway, Ferry Bridge and Castle Bay and many different areas in the north of Ireland. On an issue that Donal had actually mentioned, a local fisherman has been in contact with me a few weeks back about on an issue that the fisherman, not sure they failed to reply on, the fisherman took me out in the area concerned, the main entrance exit, on the river Blackwater in Loch Ness. It's as shallow as 15 inches in the main course and littered with trees and debris. The fishermen of the local area have to try and navigate on a daily basis, damaging their vessels and risking their lives, not to mention the local Loch Ness Rescue Service, who have to be thinking fast and alert to potentially save lives, which, if the debris slows down, the rescue time drastically. So I'm just sure, with that issue, I just hope council can maybe consider organising like a torrent DA or a workshop for concerned councillors and the appropriate stakeholders to try and get to the bottom of that dredging issue, which is damaging local vessels and fishermen. Thank you, Chair.
With all due respect, that's a separate issue. That's not on the motion tonight, so I have to take the motion as it stands. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. We as a party will be supporting the motion. Maybe what we could suggest through yourself as the Chair is maybe we could arrange a Loch Ness Day where we bring the three councils together and have like a session where we can turn around and discuss how to promote the Loch and what we can do to make sure that it's used to its full potential. Thank you, Chair.
That Councillor Brown, that's very much in keeping with the motion that is before, so therefore I'm assuming that's in favour of. Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. Very happy to support the motion. Since I brought up the Clonan Canal, I think we have been awash with issues. No, it opened the floodgate. No, right, it'll stop. 100% support the motion, Chair, as both Councillor Doris and Councillor Kerr brought up issue or points that I was going to bring up myself. I think the problem with the lock is around the ownership issue that's stopping a lot of development, and especially as Councillor Kerr mentioned, around the mouth of the Blackwater, where the fishing boats and recreational boats and all are having serious problems trying to get access to it. But it all fits in from the Ulster Canal, Clonan Canal up to Loch Ness. It all fits into the same theme, and we want to develop our waterways, we want to develop it for the local people, and it's time it was put in, the ownership of the lock was put into public ownership. There's a lot of local community groups would love to develop ideas and get things on, not just around my own area of Derry, Lahondi, Tresk and Bracca and all that, right across from musical traditions, from fishing, farming, everything that people have, like myself, who've grown up on the lock. This week I got contacted by a local mother who wanted to see if we could get a beach type facility down at the washing bay. But again, would be great to see, but the quality of water, unfortunately, around that part of the world is dreadful. But again, that's an issue that we have to try and address all together. We do have good areas like Ballyronan, and then there's other areas around Toom, etc., that have great areas to go swimming in. But again, we need a central department, and we have the Loch Ness Partnership obviously working away and doing sterling work. I served on that board 2 or 3 years myself, but 100% supported of this motion, and hopefully we can take it forward. And even Councillor Brown's add on there, we fully support of it too. A Loch Ness Day sounds brilliant.
Okay. The way I see it is that the motion is to engage with our colleagues to develop all those aspirations that everybody has associated with. So therefore, I'm not going to go into all of that other than say the motion as it stands. And as far as I can read the mood of the meeting, there's no dissent again. And therefore, I'm going to declare the motion carried. I'm going to ask Councillor McPeak, is there any comments to make on the back of that?
Not really, Chair. Just thank everybody from all the parties and everybody's contribution. Described to me as like Loch Ness sitting there and people just have to drive around it, but there's so much can be done with it. It's just getting it organised into one public ownership. The navigation, as Councillor Kerr spoke about, is a big problem. So just thank everybody for supporting the motion tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Number 17, next motion, Councillor Mahon to move.
Thank you, Chair, and I'll keep this brief. And I mentioned this at the last meeting at the AGM in terms of the engagement we had with Mid Ulster Youth Voice. And I just found that the presentation that the young people had given to the councillors there was of a very high standard. I think they stayed away from the normal subjects that young people tend to focus on, and there were sort of four pillars of their presentation around employability, mental health, environment, language rights, and they had given it a great level of consideration. And I tell you what, their presentation skills for young people was absolutely fantastic too. And I think if this council was able to support Mid Ulster Youth Voice, it would help them to increase their membership. It's already a very diverse group. Their membership stretches right across all seven DAs, from rural and urban settings. It would encourage more people to get involved in politics, to learn about politics, and to create change within their own communities. It's really about, I suppose, developing leaders for the future, and it would increase their own capacity as a group. Chair, they got great support from the Education Authority, and the leaders that was there on the day that Saturday were absolutely fantastic, and you could see the chemistry there, you know, between the young people and the people who were leading them, that there was a great deal of respect, and a lot of time had went into the organisation of it all. And as well as that, I'd also like to pay tribute to Sean McElhattan in our Good Relations Department, who worked with the group. So there was five of us there on the day, and I think I can speak on behalf of all those that were there that we were very, very impressed by what we've seen. And I think it would be a great advantage to the council, the full council, if they received the presentation. And I know, Chair, a request like this would normally be sent to the relevant committee, but I would hope that this could be made an exception because, you know, as a council, we should be trying to use every opportunity as we can to engage with young people. And this is a prime example. So, Chair, that's the bones of the motion, and it's therefore moved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Dors.
Yeah, I'm just happy to second the motion. I was attended that day at the Glenavon, and I have to say I was very genuinely impressed by them. There was a good mixture between, you know, unionists and nationalists and those who don't identify as either. And I honestly thought that they were way ahead of us on many issues, particularly in relation to equality and rights-based issues. So I'd just like to thank Sean McElhattan in particular. It was a very well-run event, and I'm happy to second the motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Kerr.
Just the same sentiments as Cahill and Niamh. I'd mentioned that development to invite them in, but I'm glad it's coming to full council. As Cahill had said, myself along with other councillors met with the organisation, discussed many subjects including the Irish Language Act, environment, LGBT rights and also workers' rights. It was a very worthwhile engagement and fully support the motion as it stands.
Okay. Councillor McFlynn.
Thank you, Chair, for allowing me to come in. Yeah, fully support the motion as well. I was there in the day. I thought that, you know, the young people were very inspirational, and their discussions were excellent. As Cahill says, they spoke about the economy, they spoke about the climate, they spoke about our language rights, and they spoke about equality, about how they should be living their lives. So, and it was a very diverse group of young people from 16-year-old up. It was cross-community, as Niamh said. Some unionist people were there, some nationalist people, and they were up for discussion. Our youth are our future, and if we don't start listening to them, then we're going to be very sad as we go on in our future. So I would agree with what Cahill said. We should help them in any way we can. We did round table question time when we were there, Cahill, and like they did speak very openly to us about different things that were going on in their lives, and there was a couple of them that went forward and did the public speaking at the top, and they were asking us, were we nervous about public speaking? I says, you never get used to it. I'm always one of those that goes red from the neck up when I'm public speak, but there you go. So I says, you get used to it as you go along, as your life progresses, and I suppose you focus on things you want to do, you get used to public speaking. But Cahill, it's a great motion. I'm glad you brought it forward. It's very worthwhile. We need input into our youth, and any way that the council can help them and encourage them, it should be welcomed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, on behalf of DP, we were happy to support the motion. The I apologise, I wasn't able to attend on that particular day because of family circumstances, but had I been available, I would have attended and been happy to take part. So I am more than happy to be associated with this and bring them in. I actually might talk to Adrian. I'm going to take him off the comfort zone, maybe bring them in a bit earlier that afternoon and have something with them or for them prior to the council meeting. I think that would then help to bring that together. Okay, we'll take it from there. So again, unless anybody else is indicating, I have no dissent coming from that. So that being the case, I'm going to... Sorry, Councillor Colvin, apologies.
Chair, I don't mean to extend the meeting. Thanks for letting me in. I think just on behalf of the Ulster Unionists, we're sorry we didn't get there at that particular time. Notice wasn't really as much as I thought of it. I'd like, Chair, I mean, Sean McElhattan does great work and a very highest regard for him, but there's just over a week's notice for that. And there are diaries you fill up very quickly, so there's a lot of other things to do. You haven't said that, or you know, our future. And if you're going to arrange something, share, we're going to have an opportunity again to meet and debate and discuss and share thoughts and ideas and hear there, that would be absolutely great, Chair. So, yes, we'll be supporting the motion as well.
Okay, thank you very much. So, again, if there's no dissent, I'm happy enough that we take it that it's supportive. Councillor Mahon, back to yourself. Any final comments?
Just thank you, everybody, for supporting the motion, and thanks, Chair, for taking a particular interest in whatever event that you intend to put on beforehand. And I suppose to give Matthew Orr a shout out, who was about probably one of six or seven people who watches our YouTube broadcast. So, hi, Matthew.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Okay, thank you very much. And could I also say on the back of that, here is four motions tonight. I don't know whether you're being sympathetic towards me, my first night as chair, but we had unanimity right across. And what I will say is that this is what motions are about. It's about positivity in our council area, concentrating on and in Mid-Ulster and working for the constituents of Mid-Ulster. And therefore, I would appreciate that during my term of office that we stay away from other things outside Mid-Ulster and stick to our own area, and that's not biased, that's factual. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to then move into confidential business tonight. We conclude our open business, and therefore I'm asking for a proposer and a second, so we're going to confidential business. Before we do, could I thank the public for listening and advise that the live broadcast will now end. It may take a few seconds for this to happen, so please wait until that has happened before we progress. Thank you very much to the public and all those that have listened and watched in tonight. Thank you. So, I have a proposer. Councillor Malloy, propose. Councillor McPeak. I have a seconder. Councillor McPeak has already been in, so I'm going to take it that. Thank you. So, move into confidential business. Let's just take a few moments first, and then we'll do that. Okay, get the thumbs up here. So that's us moved into confidential business. Okay, so item 18 is the first item.